Blog Talk Radio.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. The power of the blood. So much power in the blood. Oh. I thought I deserved, oh, to be 6 feet beneath the earth. The things I've said, the choices made that I regret, oh, I would still be lost. Oh, but for the mercy of God. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. The goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Elevation worship this morning. And mercy, the mercy of God. I really enjoy that song from time to time. And I thought I'd bring it back this morning and share it with you. Hallelujah. God is faithful. We thank him for another Tuesday morning. And he's yet bringing us through this week. And so we're thankful unto him. We give him glory. We give him the honor and the praise because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I can't take nothing from him because it's never myself. It is always him. And so I like to give to him and not ever try and take away from him. Yeah, that was one of the first things I learned. Don't take my glory. Don't ever think about taking my glory. Hallelujah. And so I'm grateful that I know this information. Yeah, it keeps me safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Today we're talking about, our topic is hold on, he restore souls. Hold on. He will restore you back to where you was. Because sometimes in this life, we go through trials. Now, the trials are not punishment. It's coming to make you strong, to give you a tougher skin. But sometimes we feel like we can't hear from God. He's not hearing me. He's not giving me. So something is wrong. So we start to somewhat, in a way, lose hope, lose faith. But if we'll just hold on and remember, he restores. He restores. And at the perfect timing, he will restore you. But in the meantime, you yet want to believe and hold on to him. Yeah, he's never gone. He's never gone. He's right there. But he's got, in growing up, the other day I heard a lady talking about Ray and the movie Ray. And what his mom did and what he did, he was losing his sight. And he walked in the door and fell, hit it, stomped his toe, I think, and fell. Mama, mama, she was right there. And she started crying. But she didn't run to his rescue because he had to learn. So God don't always run to our, he's right there. He was right there. He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be with us until the end. But he don't always run to our rescue because we have to learn. Yeah, we have to have trial and error. So we have experience. A lot of things I tell you is not because the preacher told me, the Sunday school teacher taught me, somebody else told me, I saw it on TV. No, I'm telling you from experience. I'm telling you because I was in it. I went through it. So now I can come forth and truly tell you, yep, that's real. No, that's not real. Yep, that's right. No, that's not right. Because I've experienced. So we're holding on to God. He's right there. And we're waiting on his perfect timing. Because when he come in, oh boy, nothing can undo what he does. And so we thank him. We thank him. We thank him this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to prayer, and after prayer this morning, we're going to have another song and another request. So after the request, we're going to our scripture reading, and we are going to make announcements if we have some. If not, we're going to roll on with our topic of today. Hold on. He restores souls. Yeah. Hold on. God restores souls. Hold on. He's going to fix that. You don't have to, you know, lose sleep over that. You don't have to cry about it. I know you want it, and you want it right now. I know you wanted it 2 days ago. But hold on. It's not time. Yeah, he's got a perfect timing when he's coming, and he will fix it all. And waiting on him, it helps us. I know we don't understand, but we are learning patience when we wait on God. And we need patience. Oh, yes, we do. And we want to let patience have her perfect work. Let patience work so we can learn. And whatever we need, he supplies. But many things that come we need, we have to go through to get them. Boy, if you pray for patience, you're talking about people coming to aggravate you. Are people going to be too slow for you? You're not going to like it because they didn't do it quick enough. Oh, boy, they wait. Come on. It's so easy. It's so simple. Yeah. God is trying to give us patience, but we fight him. We fight about that patience. No, we right now people. We microwave of the people. We internet click on this and click on that kind of people. And we want it to open right now. But that's not the way of God. He even shared this with us in his word. The race is not given to the swift, nor the strong, but the one that endures to the end. No matter how fast you run, it's not given to you. Because you're going to run out of gas. You're going to run out of air. You're going to get tired. And you're going to have to stop. May not be able to get back in the race. But the one that endures to the end. You're not running fast, you're running. But you're making sure in your running, you're getting everything done that you need to get done. You're making sure you're picking up patience on your way during the race. You're picking up love on your way during the race. You're picking up being a cheerful giver on your way in the race. You learn to pay your tithes and offering when the money didn't add up. You don't have enough for the bills. Pay your tithes and offering, he said, and you can prove in this day you'll open the windows of heaven and pour your blessings you don't have room enough to receive. You give out of your need. You give out of what you want. You give out of what you don't have. See, I wanted a car. I gave cars away. Huh? Yeah. I wanted better for my adult children, so I treat somebody else's adult children real good. Yeah. Hold on. He restores. And if we'll wait on him, he's coming. Not a day late, not a day too soon, but right on time. Yeah. Dotty people say he's an on-time God. Somebody said, yes, he is. And he is, but we must learn to wait on him. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen our heart, but we must wait on the Lord. Yeah. And he restores. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're grateful unto you, Father. Yeah, because he restores. Let's pray, and then we are coming back with another song and then our morning scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petition known unto you. And Father, this morning, we thank you for all you've done already in March the 26th, 2024. You woke us up this morning, clothed in our right minds. Father, we have the use and activity of limbs, life, health, and strength. And today, Father, we declare and decree faith. We declare and decree healing, that we are already healed. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. We speak healing over our bodies. We speak healing over our lives, over our children, our family, everywhere. We speak healing today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning. And Father, I bring every call and every listener before you. Ask today that you would bless, Lord, uncommonly. Bless in a mighty way that they are not even accustomed to. They never had it like that before. Do it today in the name of Jesus. Bless every household represented here, every family member, near and far today, O God. Move by your spirit, save the unsaved in our families. Lord, stir up the gifts in us that we would be obedient unto you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we bring widowers and bereaved families. We bring the administration of our military before you this morning. Father, we bring preachers. We bring Israel and Jerusalem before you this morning. All our brothers and sisters overseas. And Father, we ask today that you would move in a mighty way. Father, we ask today that you would send your uncommon favor their way, that this would be a Tuesday, March the 26th, 2019, like never before, or whatever date it is in their country. God, move today. Yeah, we stand in the need of you. And Father, without you, we can't make it. We can't do nothing without you. And Father, we're casting our cares upon you this morning, for you careth for us. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. And Father, we ask that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today. Father, feed your people until they want no more. Send your word today that heals. Oh, you send your word and it heals, oh God. Do it for your people. Do it for your sake. In the name of Jesus, that you would be glorified. You would be lifted up. Somebody would feel your presence and know that you are God and that you are real. Do it right here this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we know you hear all manner of sickness and disease. And I believe it was they asked Abraham, or Abraham asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? Father, with man, things are impossible. But with you, all things are possible. But Father, the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have all power. There's no higher power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you're on our side today in spite of us. Father, you're yet looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. But Father, we deserve death. But your love, your grace, and your mercy. You made us for your pleasure, and you was pleased with what you made. So you love us today. Yet looking beyond us and yet blessing us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We can't tell you thank you enough. We appreciate you this morning. We're grateful unto you. Father, we love you. Again, there's none like you. Move by your spirit today. But Father, you said it's by your spirit you'll go. For each and every caller, each and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast, Father, by your spirit today, move for your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, anything that shouldn't be in us, we ask that you would remove it this morning in the name of Jesus. Give us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us this day. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. We can't tell you thank you enough. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we give him glory. We give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My daddy, who is nearly 70 years old, seems to feel like some of today's gospel music has lost its way. You see, my daddy's from Kershaw, South Carolina, raised in Bright Light Baptist Church and Ebenezer Baptist Church. And my daddy believes that when you hear gospel, it ought to sound like gospel. So my sister told me that she was making a gospel record. I wanted to make sure that it was something on there for my daddy. So, daddy, we're going to take you back.
I know that God, my God, God is good.
Yes, he is.
God, my God, God is good. And all that he brought me out of darkness, God is good. And all that he saved my soul. God is good. Yeah, he that he guides my
Hola.
Every footstep.
God is good.
He guides my every footstep. God is
unto him for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us. Yeah, we're thankful this morning, and we give him honor. It's all about him, and he come first in our life, and everything that we are part of, we should give him the first fruit. He get the first fruit of everything concerning us. Yeah. And I believe it will make him happy. So look, we're looking this morning at Psalms 23, and that's over in the King James Version. And I looked at the basic English Bible, but it's not the same to me. some things are a little bit clearer, but it's just not quite the same. So we coming from King James, Psalms 23, and we want to pay close attention to verse number 3 this morning. So it says that a Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do we really believe that today? Do you really believe that the Lord truly is your shepherd and you don't have to want? He's our shepherd and people don't have to go to hell. He's our shepherd and he'll put things in the right perspective for us. But once he do it, we can't go back to our own perspective because he has declared this for us and we should stay with it. But do we really believe that he's our shepherd and we shall not want? I believe if we look at it spiritually and keep it spiritually, you will see a lot of things that you thought you wanted, you no longer want them things. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I thought I wanted the Jaguar. I thought I wanted the Rolls Royce, and, you know, I wanted a Maxima. I wanted a Volvo. You know, I wanted these type cars back in the day, Audi, that kind of thing. But when I came to Jesus just as I was wounded, weary, and sad. Once I found in him a resting place, he made me glad. So I found out I didn't really want it. I didn't really need it. None of those luxury cars. I needed more of him. I needed a clearer mind. I needed to learn how to follow his lead and let what I wanted go, because what I was wanting was no good and it didn't amount to nothing. And when I die, I was going to leave it behind. But if I followed his lead and stayed with him, when I pass away, when I sleep away from here, or however he take me away from this earth, guess what? I haven't lost anything. He's with me. Yeah. And he's taking me to a place where I'm going to be comfortable. He's taking me to a place where I can rest. And as a day coming, he'll call me forth. He'll call my name. And my prayer is that I come back with him to judge the world. Yeah. But he is our shepherd, believer, Christians, children of God, people of God, saints of God. He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And people take that more in the natural, shall not want, than in the spirit. See, I'm not going to want for nothing, because spiritually I have him. I have the spirit of God living on the inside of me. And all I have to do is trust. And I've learned this. Nothing is coming my way that's going to take me out of here. Did we remember he said, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper? I know what the bill collector said. I heard what they say. But it's not unto death if you don't pay that bill. And I used to say, if they cut my electric off, I'm going to have a candlelight service. Believe me, I have one. Have had one before. Yeah, I forgot to pay the bill when I lived over in Hilltop. I forgot to pay the electric bill. When I went up north and come back, my electric was off. It was in the wintertime, too. And nobody had money. And I spent the money because I forgot that I didn't pay the bill. I lit me some candles, sat in my big chair and sang and prayed and prayed and praised. Yeah. And in a day or so, the electric was back on. Yeah. You heard the songwriter say, I've been through the storm and lots of rain, but I made it. And back during that time, he was still my shepherd, and I still didn't have to want. I didn't want for lights. Yeah, I went right on in, and the hot water ran by gas. Look at this. turned my heat on, took my shower, and went to bed when I got ready. Yeah, read my Bible, studied, you know. And when I got ready, I went on to bed. Because I probably would have watched a little TV, you know, made me a snack and drank me something warm. But no, I didn't need all of that. He's my shepherd. I didn't have to walk. I hope we understand in this morning. And I hope we believe he is our shepherd. And if you know anything about a shepherd, he takes good care of the sheep. Very good care of the sheep. David, they called him a shepherd boy. He took care of the sheep of the father, of his father. Yeah, and things came out there to, you know, destroy the sheep. And David got strength like never before, fought it off. You won't kill nothing over here, I'll kill you before you kill these sheep. Hallelujah. So verse 2 say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. In other words, he'll take you to a place of rest. Like me, he blessed me so that when it comes to money, bills, this, that, even sickness, I don't have to worry over it. I don't have to be over concerned about it, because he is the one that showed me how to come to him and believe and trust him. And once I leave that spot right there from praying that prayer, faith, just rest, relax, let it go. Look for something I can do, because I can't take care of my own stuff. So he makes me rest. He makes a resting place for me in the green fields. He's my guide by the quiet water. Because he lead us, he take us there if we follow. Do we remember the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God? A lot of days this is what we need to do. We need to be still and know that he is God. Yeah, the Lord takes care of me as a sheep, and I will not be without any good thing. I like that right there. That's the basic English Bible. I will not be without any good thing. I will not be without what I need either, because I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Verse 3 that we pay close attention to says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, the English Basic Bible says he gives me new life to my soul. He is my guide in the ways of righteousness because of his name. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God, kind, merciful, loving God. Oh, gracious, thank you, Jesus. And if we can learn but to trust him today. Trust him. He's your shepherd. Put it to the test. Has it brought you out of anything? Have you been in some deep trouble? Was you in a place and you didn't know where the next nothing was coming from? Have you been where you didn't know how the bills was going to get paid? You had an idea, well, I'll pawn this, well, I'll sell that, well, I'll borrow this. But you, really, none of that was really a real option. And you waited as long as you could. And he stepped in on time. All of a sudden, what you need, it come your way. Sometimes a little bit more. I didn't need that, but look, that even come my way. Yeah. He's that kind of God. He loves us today. And he's a good shepherd. And you're not going to be without any good thing. You're going to always have what is good if you but trust him. He restores, because I know this, like I said earlier, many times we get in a place and some people say it feels like a rut. Sometimes we get in a place and feel like nothing is happening. We can't hear nothing, feel nothing. Where is God? He's right there. Our trials come to make us strong. And a lot of times we don't remember, oh, I'm in the midst of a trial. We think we're being punished. And we fall in depression. We fall into this other stuff. Anxiety attacks and all this stuff. That's the devil. I promise you, he's attacking you. Because you're allowing yourself not to remember the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. You're not allowing yourself to know, I will not be without any good thing. You're not allowing yourself to remember, he makes a resting place for me in the green fields. He is my guide by the quiet waters. He's going to lead me beside the quiet waters. He's going to give me rest. Because I took my mind off of my stuff and put my mind on him. His words say, if we'll keep our mind on him, it's him that will keep us in perfect peace. He restores my soul. I feel like I'm losing. I done lost something. What's going on? I don't hear nothing. I don't feel nothing. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Anything that his name is on, it's going to come out right. It's going to come out good because his name is on it. Again, the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He can spin the world around. He can stop it. He can move the world if he chooses to. He can shift the earth if he chooses to. So anything his name is on, it's going to come out good. He's not a lying God. He's not a fake God. He don't play games. He don't have do things. But we must trust him. We must keep the faith and believe him. Believe what his word says. I have hanged on to his word till I couldn't hang no more. Yeah, and when I couldn't hang no more, he had already fixed it. Because sometimes we're holding on to the word of God. And the preacher come and say something negative. The sister come and say something negative. Your family members talking negative. Your husband or your wife talking negative. And you're trying to hold on to your faith because you believe God is doing this. And I'm not talking about just a car or the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I'm talking about some other things. It might be a healing in your body. You may have been diagnosed with cancer, AIDS, bone disease, blood, all kind of stuff. And you holding on to every word of God because you believe in God to heal your body. When you go back to the doctor, you believe in to get a good bill of health, clean bill of health. But all kind of stuff coming against you. But if his name is on it, you used his name when you prayed. He going to do it because his name is in it. His name is on it. You called on him. He gives new life for my soul. He is my guide in the ways of righteousness because of his name. I said because of his name. His name is a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. His name is above every name. It's the only name whereby men must be saved. It's the only name that men can be saved by. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I don't care what's going on, and especially if it's bad, call on the name of Jesus and see what happens. You feel like you're going through, get on them knees and cry out unto the Lord and see what happens. And David, in another scripture, said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. But guess what he said? That for it was not only that God heard the cry, but God came and did something about his cry. David was the one that, I believe it's in Psalm 51, that's asking for forgiveness. And he's telling all his business in there. Yeah. The scripture said, David can't build no house with me because his hand's bloody. He's a bloody man. Ooh, David had a lot of deaths. He killed a lot of people. Oh, he believed in war. He believed in fight. Oh, you don't want no peace over there. Okay, I'll come over there and destroy you and your family and all your people. camp. He was supposed to, now Saul was supposed to destroy them Amalekites, and he did. I believe David would have destroyed them. King, king wife, king son, everybody. Every cow. Yeah, it's as if David liked chilling. Had Uriah killed. I won't call him a serial killer. I won't call him that. That may be what he was, but I won't call him that today. Yeah. But he gives new life for my soul. He is my guide in the ways of righteousness because of his name. He's not my guide in the way of evil. He's not my guide in the way of punishment. He's not my guide in the way of destroying me. That's the devil's department. It's him that come. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus come that we might have life again this morning and have it more abundantly. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're walking through death, nobody's killing you now. But the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not afraid. Huh? Let's go down to the dope house. Let's go down to the trap and preach. Let's go down to the trap and compel them to come out. Yeah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, how's that, Barbara? How are you going down in the ghetto in a real, real low-income area? You know them people down there, they looking for any and everything to rob. What's going on? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, Barbara, the work I do is dangerous. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Barbara, I work in the open public. And you know, they're shooting in and everywhere now. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Barbara, nowadays you work and people get mad. They might shoot you if they think you didn't fix the brakes right on their car. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The basic English says, yes. Though I go through the valley of deep shade, I will fear no, I will have no fear of evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your support are my comfort. So I didn't quite get the deep shade, but that valley of the shadow, I get that, of death. Because many times, we don't even know it, but we're in the presence of death. We don't even know it. But we don't fear no evil because we don't know it. And another thing is, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. That rod and that staff, they comfort me. Yeah, I don't have it to worry about. I lock my doors at night. Yes, I lock my doors during the day, you know. And I make sure my windows are secure and things like, but I don't sit up and just be all concerned about who's going to break in my house. I'm not concerned about who taking over nothing I have. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's my shepherd. He's going to take good care of me. All power is in him. I know that he's here, there, and everywhere, and they gave me a name of being omnipresent. His eyes, listen to this, are in every place. He see what's going on with me right now, and he see what's going on with you right now. He already know how the day will go and end. I don't. But I fear no evil, for thou art with me. That rod and that staff, they comfort me. Late in the midnight hour, that rod and that staff, they comfort me. When my daughter left here, that rod and that staff comforted me. Yeah. When I lost my parents, one by one, that rod and that staff, they comforted me. It wasn't no joke. I didn't let my emotions get the best of me when my daughter left here. Now, when my mom left, I wasn't saved like I am. When my dad left, I had drew a little bit closer to God. I yet had a form of godliness, and I was yet denying the power thereof. I would honor him with my lip, but my heart still somewhat would be far from him. But I knew, because I could hear my dad saying this, baby, don't worry about coming out of Alabama for this. I'm not there. I'm gone. Coming out of Alabama, talking about paying your last respect to me, a shell, an empty shell, because I'm gone. I could hear that. You have children to take care of. Go to work and take care of your children. I did just that. I went to work. And people say, you here? I said, yeah, I need something to do. They said, oh, to keep your mind going. I said, uh-huh. That wasn't it. I was not going to see the shell of my dad. And I knew if I get it right with God, I would see him again one day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we're moving too fast, and we want too much too quick. I just got this from the Lord, now I want that. And it's nothing to do with spiritual things. We need more spiritual things because we're serving a spiritual God. And if we get more spiritual from him, let me tell you, the natural things will fall into place. Listen what he says. Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added. Did you hear that part? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, because what's going to happen is when we obey God, he won't withhold no good thing from us. Because obey and show him we love him, and there's a calling on our lives. We seeking the calling. We seeking the things of him, not the things of the flesh. No good thing in this flesh. This flesh will get you messed up real bad. The flesh will cause you to die a physical death. There are a few men I wish you knew who could, you would know, because what they did caused them to die. He was in there with somebody else's wife, and the man come and shot him dead. She was over there with somebody else's husband, and the woman come and shot her dead. Sometimes they were stabbed to death, cut to death. Yeah. For us, he's our shepherd. For us, he's doing all that he need to do to take care of us. And he's going to take care of us if we belong to him. But his word says we belong to him if we obey him. I know they told you once saved, always saved. The devil is a lie. He is married to the backslider. And the backslider can come home when he get ready. The sinner can go to him, stop sinning, let him stop you, and guess what? Be born again. And even for the sinner don't have to fear evil, for thou art with me, that rod and that staff, they comfort me. Because he's no longer a sinner. He gave up that life and came to Jesus just as he was. He was weary, wounded, and sad. He was messed up. He didn't know nowhere else to go. Somebody asked him about giving God a try. And they told him you have to go to God through his son Jesus, and they believed. We want to remember this. He restores. Not only do he restore spiritual things, he restore materialistic things, natural things. He'll restore your mind. Oh, yes, he will. He restores your soul when you feel like you just got to give up. Oh, I just got to let it go. Oh, I just can't do no more. He'll restore your soul, and he'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because see, sometimes when we feel like giving up, we might do some wrong things because we letting go. But if we're going to let go, but let God have his way. Let go in Jesus. Let go to God. Let God fix it for you. Don't worry about it no more. Leave it alone. Put it on the altar and walk away. This show that we truly believe. This show that we're truly the children of God doing what our Father would have us to do. This show that we are Christians. We're truly followers of Christ. I didn't see him getting no tizzy or upset or anything when they say, hey, it's getting late and we don't have no food. And it's late to go try to buy something to feed this many people. He said, sit the people down. He didn't get upset. He didn't panic. Oh, what am I do? He didn't do any of that. Sit him down. In a few minutes, they come and told him, hey, this lad right here, he's got a few fish and a few loaves. And the little boy was willing to give it. He prayed over it. And again, they passed the food out of it, kept multiplying and going. Why? He let go. He believed his Father. He knew from past things and from what his Father taught him what his Father was capable of doing. From what God has taught us, what he has shown us, what the miracles he has worked in our lives, we know. But as soon as something come up, we're stressed. We won't carry it to God in prayer, and we must. The wife over there cutting the food, acting a pure donkey, put her in prayer. Tell God about her. Let me tell you something. I got to admit it. I had did something, and I knew I wasn't supposed to. And I did it anyway. Because the Lord, you know, he let me know, if you do this, this going to happen. If you do that, that's going to happen. So I already knew what, you know, did it anyway. And what happened, Barbara? Trouble came. That's what he said. It come to pass. I went back to him and I said, Lord, I was wrong and I wasn't supposed to do it. And one had come before destruction. I did it anyway, and here it is. This is where I am. And Lord, I want out of this. I don't want to be in this. I don't want the punishment of this because I'm still doing that. But I had to make my mind up not to do that no more. And he gave me a way out of there. And then by coming out, no need to go back now. Okay, you go back playing around, you're going to be right back in the same spot. And that wasn't the first time, several times. Because one thing about God, we'll get ourselves in trouble, but he'll come and deliver us out of it. But we got to go to him and talk to him. Yeah, we got to let him know. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is what he will do for us, what he does for us. And we got to get serious and stop letting the flesh rule and reign. Because see, a lot of things, the flesh going to, now you do that. If you stop doing that, you know this. You still can do that because, you know, he told you, you know, it's up to you, but if you do it, you were going to go through this, and you've been going through it, so if you're willing to go through a little more, let me tell you something. When God gives you a warning about something, take heed. Take heed. That thing will give you an ulcer in your belly. It will destroy you. When you know anything, you overeating too many sweets, too many starches, too many snacks. And you just going on like, you know, I'm getting old, this is what I do. Now that thing got you. Yeah. What he told you not to do. See, I cook. I bake. And some days I just want to bake sweets. I don't want to bake no bread. What? Bake that yeast roll? No, I wants to bake cakes and pies and cookies and make homemade candies. But I know better. And sometimes that's the way we are about this thing we're not supposed to be in. He allowed it, but he told you what was going to happen. We're not supposed to be in it. But yet we can go to God and he'll bring us completely out of it. And if we want him to, he'll give us a mind to stay out. But sometimes that's not what we do. Because we forget he's our shepherd. And we're acting like he's not our shepherd. I was acting as if he wasn't my shepherd. I was acting as if he won't take care of me. I got to take care of myself. Are you crazy, Barbara? All God done did for me, you know I knew better than that. But sometimes that flesh want to have its way, and many times we give in to it. But we got to pray and stay out of that danger zone. I learned, I can't go over in that danger zone. He done brought me out of too much, and I'm not going to keep tempting God. That's the way I felt. I'm not going to keep tempting him. And some things I forgot, and I have to go to him and say, Lord, I forgot. Heal my memory. Yeah. And he'll tell me what to do. Stop eating all the sugar. Stop eating the fried. Stop eating too much pasta. Stop it. Because a lot of times they say it's Alzheimer's, but a lot of times that is blood sugar. That's diabetes. You got too much of something in your blood that you shouldn't have. And it will affect your brain. Diabetes, it will affect your brain, your memory. Yeah. And age, because, you know, you're getting older. But again, this morning, the question is, do we believe the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want? Do we really believe that this morning? That was the main question. Are we allowing him to make a resting place for us and lead us beside the still water, guide us by the quiet waters, quiet. Sometimes we need time to think and we don't need any distractions. Are we allowing him to do this? He restoreth my soul. Are we allowing him to give life to our soul? And if so, how are you allowing God to restore your soul? Are you standing still knowing that he's God? Are you in prayer? Are you allowing the word to bring you out, to remind you that he restoreth? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Do we believe this? Do we believe that there is really a path of righteousness? A place that's right for you. A place that's right that God dwells. That he can take you to this place and it's quiet, it's peaceful, it's good down there. No evil is there for his name's sake. Your name is nowhere on it. He's doing it because his name is on it. And again, this morning, anything his name is on is going to come out 100% right. Because we're back to this one again. The earth is his. The fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He can do what he wants with whatever he wants. That's why when people tell me about, what did they tell me? Oh, he ain't gonna just drop it out the sky. Are you crazy? He can if he choose to. What you say, Barbara? The earth is his. The fullness Ooh, the world and they that dwell therein. I told you about the $20 bill he put on the ground. That money was blowing in the wind and not moving. And no wind nowhere else around the money. Just on that money. It reminded me of Moses in the burning bush. Oh, glory. Hey, thank you. I had one nickel to my name. Y'all know I'm honest. I'm going to tell you the truth. 1 5 cent. 1 nickel. That's what I had. And I wanted a cup of coffee from the Hess station. Hess gone out of business now as far as I know here in Florida. But they had all these flavored creamers to go in your coffee. And that coffee was good. And I used to go in there and put my favorite creamers in it and thing. I think I would drink a mocha or something like that. And I come on out of there with a small cup of coffee. That did me all the good in the world. And I didn't have to have no breakfast really or lunch because after that I got busy. So this particular morning, and I was living with a family, and I would take the children to school. And because both parents work, and I would come back and, you know, cook and clean the house and this type of stuff. So anyway, I dropped the little boy off to school and was coming on back home. And I thought about the coffee, and I only had a nickel. Well, I came on home and went in the house. But I had told the Lord, I said, Lord, I sure would like to have a cup of coffee. And I went on in the house to start my date. And the phone rang, and it was the school. And they needed me to come back for something for the little boy. I don't know if he left his homework or what it was. And I turned around and went on back to the school. Well, I come out the door. That's what happened. I come out the door, and I was headed to the car. And when I turned and looked, I saw a $20 bill. Now, y'all know I wear glasses too, right? I looked again because I'm like, what? And when I looked, I said, that's a $20 bill. I started rushing over there. Now, look, wind was not blowing anywhere else. I paid attention to everything because I knew I had to tell this one day. Wind was not blowing anywhere else but on that $20 bill, and that 2 and that 0 was magnified. So I could see it was 20, and it was a $20 American bill. I rushed over and got it. Jumped in the car, took back up to the school what the little boy needed. Come right on the back around across, went over and got my coffee and anything else. Honey bun, cinnamon roll, Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donut, whatever else I wanted, I had the money to buy. Why? He's my shepherd. And I would not be without anything good. Anything that I want, God is going to supply to me. Now, my problem with things is this. I have to do it in moderation. I got to work more on the moderation part. Okay, you can go to Krispy Kreme and have a donut every 3 months. But you cannot go to Krispy Kreme, Barbara, and have 6 donuts, 3 donuts. You can't even have 2. But you're allowed to eat 1 maybe every 3 months. I love crackers. Oh, my goodness. I forgot the name of the company. I think it's called Mo. Oh, my goodness. It's like they just pulled them up out the wash pot for me. No more. No more, no more cracking. I was buying them from the service station. Y'all know I was service station connoisseur looked like. And they was pretty good, but when I found the molds, oh my goodness, they were real dear. I cannot eat these things every day. Matter of fact, I can't eat them every week in moderation. See, because I done ate some things, and I ate too much of it. Now it's telling on me. Little blood pressure want to go up. Little blood sugar want to come up. Eating wrong. Yeah. So now it's got to be done in moderation. I won't make it. Yeah. Because guess what? I would not be without any good thing. I did it to myself. I can't blame nobody else. Oh, the devil getting all. Barbara's a lie this time. It ain't the devil. She knew better than to eat all of that. Got the charts and all, and it'll tell you if you do this, this gonna happen. You do that, that gonna happen. Now, I can't blame that on the devil. That's on Barbara. But it goes back to say, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4 says this. Check this out now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The word of God will comfort you. His name will comfort you. You don't have to fear evil. Matter of fact, speak to it. Go. In Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. I bind you up and cast you back to the pits of hell in Jesus' name. I drop everything belong to me, and I bind you up and cast you to hell in Jesus' name. And Father God, I ask that you would rebuke this devourer for my sake. And I loose everything that God have for me. Everything that God have. Nothing else. Nothing evil have. Nothing that them practicing evil have. Only what God have is what I'm releasing to me. And if I know what he tried to attack or took, I'm gonna bring that back too. Yeah. In Jesus' name. See, we're not taking time. We're not taking time. And then we listen to these people and they sound educated and they sound smart, dumb as a box of rocks. Because guess what? He's my shepherd and I shall not want. And guess what? They teaching me something. They teaching me that he only the shepherd a certain kind if they do it a certain way. No, he's no respect of persons this morning. He shine on the justice as well as the unjust. If he do it for the sinner, I know he's going to do it for the Christian, the followers of Christ. Are you kidding me? Nobody going to tell me God won't drop it out the sky. Nobody can tell me he won't lay it on the ground. If he can't find a willing heart to give it to me, a human being who's willing, he'll put it on the ground for Barbara. It'll fall out the sky for me. I believe this morning. And I know he's my shepherd. And I know I will not be without any good thing. The blessings overtaken Barbara. But I have to obey the word. I have to give up. It appear the right for the wrong sometimes. Sometimes I have to shut up where I want to say big words. I want to do some talking. Shut up. I have to shut up. I want to go someplace. Nope. That's not where I'm sending you. Stand still and know that I am God. I was making my plans because, see, I wanted to go up north. Me and them northern girls, we get along real well up and around there. You know, they take me places to eat. You know, when I go to Philadelphia, I get over to the Philly cheesesteak spot, you know. I go to other places, I get to take New York pizza and cheesecake, you know. But if he said no, what am I going to do? Stand still and know that he's God? Yeah. Because, you know, we like to feel like because he's sending us, he's going to use us. You know, we can eat where we want, you know, when we get to eat and dance. Sometimes he might send you on a fast so you can't do nothing. But when he's sending you not on the fast, then you go to eat here and there and everywhere. But when he says no, that's what it means. He means. And you're not going to do it because it's not going to be convenient for you to get it done. Every way you turn, it's going to be blocked because he said no. See, My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If we get with him and stay with him and walk in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Many people on the job suffering. You know why they suffer on the job? With the devil. Corporate is the devil. And many suffer with that thing because they don't let their light shine. They don't remember the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They don't remember he making me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes you got to go to that bathroom and you got to pray like you at home. You got to pray like you in your secret closet. Sometimes that devil is talking to you all out his eye. Not just the side of his neck, but all out his eye. And while that devil talking to you, you're not talking out loud, but you looking him in the face and you binding that devil up in Jesus' name with a pleasant look on your face. You call those things that are not in there as though they were. I call the Spirit of God in here. I call the anointing to come in here. Let me tell you something. The water, you know how that water come down? The fire drill in the whole building, the sprinkler system. And shut it down for the day and tomorrow. Maybe a week or so before, because everything got to dry out and they got to re-get the computers and restart things out. Don't fool with me. He's my shepherd. Don't fool with me. I will not be without any good thing. Don't fool with me. He give me a resting place, and he got me by the quiet water. Do not fool with me. He give my soul life. He restores my soul. He is my guide in the ways of righteousness because of his name. Don't fool with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep shade, I will have no fear of evil. For you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your support are my comfort. Don't fool with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Don't fool with me. When I walk through the building, the corporate people looking at me say, oh, there go Barbara, you know, she kind of strange. But they can't do nothing about it. They can't put me out my job. I'm making top dollar, top sales and everything. And I'm not lying to the people that I'm selling to. They want me to be like them, a deceiver, a liar, a trickster. I can't be that way. I'm saved. God gave me this job, but I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it in a godly way. And when they came in there and said, well, Barbara, why did you do this? I'm not shaking in my boots. And I'm not speaking. I'm going to let God give me what to speak. Oh, come on here this morning. Been there and done that. Because I felt like this, if I got to walk off of here, for God's, for the sake of God, I'm gone. And not worrying about where I'm going to eat next week, not worrying about where the gas going to come from next week. I'm not worrying about the house pet, none of that. Because I stood up for Jesus. I stood up for Jehovah. I stood up for righteousness. I stood up because he's my shepherd. But we say we follow the Christ, but many times we cowards. And we got to be careful who we hang out with, because they'll make us cowards. I have asked questions, and the answers that came back, sometimes I just had to say, oh, and go on. Because you letting the devil defeat you. When your father got all power, there's no higher power. And we got to be careful who we listen to, because that thing will start weighing on you. Have you walking in doubt? And I don't doubt. I ain't got no time for it. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. I can hear that. Because God lives. Oh, glory to you. I can face tomorrow and any other day because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds my future. Again, life is worth the living just because he lives. Hallelujah. Oh, I can hear that in my spirit. And now, hey, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. Father, I thank you for faith. I thank you for trusting you. I thank you that you are our shepherd this morning. Hallelujah. And we shall not want. But you just have to get serious. Don't doubt. Get serious. Stand for what's right. Walk in the spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Walk in the spirit that you don't get weak when you're at the time of need. Look at Ananias, remember? He got knocked Saul off the horse and let him know what he was doing to his people. You persecute me, why? Blinded him. Told him to go and find Ananias. But God told Ananias Saul was coming. I could imagine. I couldn't say I would have prayed that same prayer. I probably would have been praying, Lord, you know this man killing us. He killing your people. He killing your children. You, what you want me to do with this Syria killer, Lord? Yes, sir. It probably would have made me shaking my boots just like Ananias was shaking a little bit. But then the Lord spoke, you know. And if he hadn't spoke, you yet got to obey. Because he has spoke. He told you what to do, but he didn't give you the answer. He just told you to do it. He didn't tell you the results. And the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But many times we forget that scripture. Oh, yeah. It's praying time. It's praying time. It's praying time. It's Bible study time. It's personal prayer life time. It's personal Bible study time. Because these days are getting evil. You think you've seen some evil. Uh-uh. Keep living. It get wickeder. And they get wiser on how to perform evil. How more to perform wickedness. If ever there was a time to come to God, now is that time. If ever there was a time to walk in the spirit, now is that time. If ever there was a time to walk by faith and not by sight, it's now. March 26, 2024 is that time. We got to get it right with God. The songwriter said, and do it now. Get right with God and do it now. And guess what? If you don't know how, he'll show you how. Down at the cross where Jesus shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right. Get right with God. Yeah, go on to the foot of the cross and talk to him. Ask him to come into your heart and live forever. I'm talking about the believer too. Because see, some think they've been found. Some think I'm saved. I'm good. No ma'am and no sir. You're not living a saved life. You're not living a Christian life. You're not living a following Jesus life. I heard you and I know you think you are, but you're not. Mm-hmm. So many go back and do your first work over. Yeah. Go back to the altar and make sure we got what we thought we had the first time. Because we should get pen and paper and look at our life. Make the checklist. Go on and make it. Every day I do this, is this resembling Jesus? Every day I do that. Do that look like Jesus? At work, am I doing what reflect Jesus? Do it show Jesus in my walk at work? When I'm hanging out with family and friends, do it reflect Jesus? What it reflect? See, listen. We know not a day, not an hour when God is coming back. And simply because you went to the altar and said, I do, come into my heart and live, that's not the end of it. That's not where it stops at. Simply because we believe in the name of Jesus, that's not just where it stopped. He left instructions. Remember, he gave them 10 commandments where he broke the 10 down into 2. Go back with your checklist and see if you live in those 2. Those 2 commandments, because it covers the 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5 says this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, let me tell you about this right here. God will do it right in front of your enemies. God will snatch the cover of those even on the job in your family that's doing stuff behind your back. He'll snatch the cover off it right before. On the job, he'll snatch the cover off them negative, evil coworkers in front of the manager, in front of the district manager, in front of the supervisor. And the supervisor looking, well, I thought it was Barbara. But look at that. She said it wasn't her. But she didn't have no proof. But look what done happened. Ooh, they stuff all out in the open. Not only the supervisor know about it, all the employees know about it. Your coworkers know about it, you see. The district manager, the manager, the CEO of the company, the owner, everybody done found out that Barbara wasn't the one doing this. We thought it was Barbara, but we soon did see the proof that Barbara was nowhere near. He prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Yeah. The devil told your husband, she cheating. I seen her down there talking to Tyrone every day. Every day at 11:45, she talking to Tyrone. And they just laughing and having a good time. Guess what? She didn't even remember to tell him that's her stepbrother. Huh? What? So the husband rolled up there on her and Tyrone. What's going on here? She said, oh, hey, honey. Oh, honey, this Tyrone, this my stepbrother. What? Yeah, this my mama's son. She had Tyrone when she met my daddy. He would prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They clowning over there at the church. They say you shouldn't be on that ministry. You shouldn't be working on the finance ministry. You've been to prison and, you know, you had a little problem with money. Yeah. And it came up that a few dollars came up missing. And you were the first one they were looking at. Yeah. But when they really checked things out, it was the deacon, the head deacon. He was doing this one for the church and this one for my pocket. This one for the church and this one for my pocket. But God revealed, he prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And while he was preparing the table, he anointed your head with oil. Now everybody get to see. And now your cup runneth over. Yeah, at the school, they said that you were doing plagiarism. They said you copied some stuff. They said that you was using somebody else's test score or turning in somebody else's stuff at the school, and you never did no such of a thing. You stayed up late night studying. You got up early in the morning to study. And look what happened. They said it was you. But all of a sudden, they checking these other papers, and they seeing a pattern over here. And this pattern been going on in the class for a while. Then they look back at your stuff, and they like, no, these people over here copying from her. They taking Barbara's stuff using it. Thou prepareth the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The basic English in verse 5 says, you make ready a table for me in front of my haters. You put oil on my head, my cup is overflowing. Apostle Timothy, all that bad, though, he used to have me hollering about that word haters. I would be screaming. I would have to mute my mic so he couldn't hear me. Hate on me, haters. Oh, and I would be laughing so hard. But some people hate you. You got all kind of haters. Some people jealous of you just for being you. You didn't make you. You was born you. God made you. And they don't like it, go to God about it. They don't like it because they're not you. Some people hate you for the way that your eyes look. Your eyes. What do I? You don't make no eyes. And they're not contacts. I was born with these eyes. If I could take them out and give them to you, I would. But I can't. They're mine. I need them to see. Some people hate you for the color of your skin. I'm sorry I was born this way. If I could take it off to please you, I would. But I can't. I don't want to, but I can't take it off anyway. Some people hate you the way that you shaped. What? Yeah. I got this weight from eating good. I'm sorry. You're welcome to come by and get some plates. I cook from time to time and maybe to put some meat on your bones. You got all kind of, you got men with women telling the woman he love her, but he's jealous of her. And not jealous of her and another man. He's jealous of her abilities, the things that she can get done. That he can. Haters. And tell me, I love you. Stay with me, baby. You're a fool. Oh, but after a while, keep living. Things gonna change. Yeah. You make ready a table for me in front of my haters. You put oil on my head. My cup is overflowing. He's there all the time. He saw the lie they told on you. He saw the, how they set you up. He saw them laughing in your face and stabbing you in the back. He saw how fake they was. And I'm going to tell you something. The way they are on these jobs today, I can't do it. Mm-mm. Because you talking to me, trying to convince me that you for me, but I could hear. Uh-huh. And I can see. I couldn't be bothered. Yeah. I'm not going backside. I'm going to stay saved. I am going to stay saved. But I would have to get on away from y'all. With that y'all pulling over there and all the fakeness and I'm doing this to keep my job. I'm not genuine. I'm not real. Bye-bye, sugar. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And while y'all got the foolishness in him, He make me a resting place in the green fields. And he is my guide by the quiet waters. While y'all in here with the nonsense and the foolishness, he gives me new life to my soul. He is my guide in the ways of righteousness because of his name. Yes, though I go through the valley of deep shade, I will have no fear of evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your support are my comfort. You make ready a table for me in front of my haters and pour oil on my head. My cup runneth over. Now look what he said in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That basic English Bible says, truly blessings and mercies will be with me all the days of my life, and I will have a place in the house of the Lord all my days. Huh? What? Yeah. Because I took heed to all of this. I decided to walk in the spirit that I don't fulfill the lust of my flesh. Now that's what I decided to do. I decided to let him be my shepherd. I wasn't all that concerned about the wants, but it come with it because he's my shepherd. I decided to let him lie me down in the green pasture and leave me by the still water. I decided to do these things. I decided that he'll restore my soul and he'll lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, all of these things, each one of these, I decided to give God a chance. I decided to come out my flesh, stop walking in Barbara, and walk in Jesus. On the job, I decided to let them know who and what I stand for, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper even on the job. They lied on me and everything, but it come out, I was clean as a whistle. I never done anything on the job against anybody. But there are going to be some great trials. I want you to know it. Once you come to Jesus, it's not easy. The easy road you was on before, it's going to get a little rougher. Quick. Because the enemy don't like what you done. He don't like that you gave your life to God. Yeah. Hold on, he restores souls. Hold on, he restores. God restores. He's able to see us through over and over and over and over again. And I'm so grateful unto him. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning, one more request. And when we come back, we'll come back with another clip. Yeah.
Able, you're more than able. Ain't no problem that's too hard for a strong and mighty God. Yes, you are able, you're more than able. Time and time again you prove I can always count on you. You are
able.
You are able.
Ain't no problem that's too hard.
Ooh.
For a strong and mighty God.
Oh, you are
able.
So much more than
able.
In time.
entitled The Wolf is at the Door. The Wolf is at the Door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah says these words. Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day created by God's own people that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. Matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hoped to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. The book of Proverbs says, a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this, and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today, hearing my voice, ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear when you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Mm-hmm. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage in... You know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God. And sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God, unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both, men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level. Because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example. And you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate. And the preacher can get up and say nice words. But the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. But it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves, lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little, they have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You are, you honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty, what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said you go across land and sea to get one convert and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the Word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion. For the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin. Amen. In the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the Word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. Amen. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand Because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God. But they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments, going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. It's for people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he were standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment for those who you just know you have to turn from something. And for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about in your life, but you say, God, I'm stuck in neutral. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. But today you say, I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I want my voice to have authority. If that's you, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your way here. We're going to pray together and believe God to answer our prayer. In the annex, you can make your way here. We'll wait for you in the campus churches. Step between the screens, if you will. We'll be back in just a moment. Every time I look at people at this altar, I see a mighty army of God. I do. I honestly do. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would give every man, every woman, every young person who is at this altar, who are responding in our campus churches or at home, courage, Lord, and compassion. Lord, your word speaks of a perfect love that casts out fear. So, God, give us a love for people that we would not be afraid to speak truth without condemning them, without railing, just loving and speaking the truth. Father, help those that are caught in sin to turn from it. Help us as your people, my God, to be clean. We who bear the treasure of Christ in these earthen vessels, cleanse us, God, of impurity and mixture and things that cause your voice not to be heard or your heart not to be seen. Give us the grace we need to be the people of God. Lord, help us. Help this nation. Give us a moment of mercy, Lord, to turn back to you again. Give us the grace to pray. Heal our homes, our families, our marriages, our children, my God. Deliver us, Lord, from those that crept in to our schools, our colleges, and our high schools, Lord, and took captive our children. Deliver us, God. From this moment, as you delivered your people out of Egypt, deliver us, God, from those who are throwing our children into the river of confusion. Forgive us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, for what we allowed in our laziness to come into our borders. Forgive us, Lord God, for abdicating the training of our children and giving it to others, Lord, who took advantage and began to steal them from your kingdom. God, help us now to take our rightful place. Help the fathers here to take their place as the head of their home, as the guide, the spiritual guide of their families. Help the mothers to understand the incredible power that they have. Lord, it is truly said that the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the nation. That's true. That's true. I pray, God, for every woman here. God, I ask today, Lord, that even from this meeting today, people would rise up and find your will and walk into it, Lord, with faith. Whatever it is, wherever you lead us, take us, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord. We dedicate our futures to you. We thank you for covering our past and our present failure and giving us the promise of new life into the future. Lord, we will not despise you. We will not turn our faces from you or lightly esteem you. Your word is the truth, Lord. It is the only guide we have into eternal life. So God, help us, Lord. Help us to learn your word, to study your word, to know your word, and to cherish your word. Father, thank you for the great fruit that will be born into your kingdom just from the lives that are here at the altar and on their knees in their homes right now. Just thank you for the great fruit that will be born for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Imagine standing at a crossroads where every path seems shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. You feel the weight of choices, each path promising different outcomes and experiences. It's in such moments that the cry of our hearts echoes the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. This profound verse isn't just a request. It's an admission of our need for divine guidance in the maze of life. Now, if you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a fervent prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. We live in a world where our steps can easily veer off into paths of distraction or danger. The choices we make, the roads we take, the relationships we nurture, and the values we hold dear all require wisdom that transcends our limited understanding. In the Bible, the notion of steps often symbolizes our life's journey. It reminds us that life is not static, but a series of movements and decisions. And in this journey, we are not alone. We have a guide who promises to lead us through his word. Reflect on your life for a moment. Think about the times you felt lost, unsure of which direction to take. Remember the moments of decision, big or small, that shaped the course of your journey. At times, the way ahead may have seemed clear, illuminated by the light of your understanding. But how often have we found ourselves at a dead end, or worse, on a perilous path, simply because we trusted in our wisdom? This is why our hearts echo the psalmist's prayer. Guide my steps. It's a prayer of humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. It's a prayer of faith, trusting that God, who sees the end from the beginning, will guide us. It's a prayer of surrender, yielding our will and desires to his perfect plan. When we invite God to direct our steps, we are not giving up our freedom. Rather, we are exercising the highest form of freedom, choosing to walk in the light of his wisdom and love. Now, consider the second part of the verse. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is crucial. Our journey is not just about finding the right path, but also about walking in righteousness. It's a recognition that our choices are not morally neutral. They can lead us either towards or away from the path of integrity and purity. Asking God to guide our steps is also a plea for him to protect us from the influence of sin and wrongdoing that can so easily entangle us. In our journey through life, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Voices of society, culture, personal ambition, and even our desires. These voices can sometimes drown out the still, small voice of God, leading us astray. But when we earnestly seek God's guidance, he promises to lead us. As Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is a promise of divine direction and intervention. But how does God guide us? He guides us through his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119, verse 105 declares. He guides us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts and minds, guiding us into all truth as affirmed in John 16, verse 13. He also guides us through wise counsel from others, through circumstances, and through the peace that comes from making decisions aligned with his will. Embracing God's guidance requires us to let go of our desire to control every aspect of our lives. It means trusting that even when the path seems uncertain or challenging, God is working out his perfect plan for us. It's about believing that He knows what is best for us and is capable of leading us to our destiny. This trust doesn't come easy, but it's a journey worth embarking on. As we navigate through the complexities of life, let us remember that our steps are ordered by the Lord, as Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us. When we commit our way to the Lord, He will establish our steps. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but it does mean that we can rest in the assurance that God is with us every step of the way, guiding, correcting, and leading us towards His purpose for our lives. So, today, as we stand at the crossroads of life, let's make a conscious decision to ask God to guide our steps. Let's pray with sincerity and open our hearts to His leading, and also be willing to follow wherever He guides. In doing so, we will find that our paths become clearer, our decisions wiser, and our lives more aligned with His perfect will. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, I come before You with a heart full of praise. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the One who guides the stars and directs our steps. Your majesty and power are beyond our understanding, yet You care for us deeply. I thank You, Lord, for Your unending love, Your grace, and the countless blessings You bestow upon us each day. Your goodness and mercy follow us, and for this I am eternally grateful. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life, for the air I breathe, and for the love I experience from You and those around me. In this moment of prayer, I humbly ask for Your forgiveness for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have strayed from Your path. As I seek Your forgiveness, I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness and resentment in my heart. Cleanse me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, as I step into this new day, I pray for divine direction in all that I do. Guide my thoughts, decisions, and actions according to Your will. Help me to recognize Your voice leading me and grant me the wisdom to understand the plans You have for me. May Your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, illuminating every step I take. Protect me, O God, from missteps that lead away from Your will. I rebuke any plans of the enemy to cause confusion or to lead me astray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Shield me from harm and keep me on the path of righteousness so that I may walk in Your truth and integrity. Lord, I pray for strength and courage, especially in times of trial and uncertainty. When challenges arise, remind me that You are my rock and fortress. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. In every difficult situation, grant me the fortitude to endure and the faith to trust in Your unfailing love and power. I ask for clarity of purpose, O Lord. Reveal to me the unique path You have set for my life. Let my actions and choices reflect the calling You have placed upon me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my life is aligned with Your divine purpose, and I am walking in the destiny You have ordained for me. Gracious Lord, teach me obedience and surrender as I seek to understand your will. Help me to submit my will to yours, knowing that your plans are higher than mine. In every decision, let me seek your face and follow your guidance. I bind any spirit of rebellion or pride in the name of Jesus, and I declare a heart that is receptive to your leading. Guide me in my relationships, Father. Bless my interactions with others and help me to build connections that honor you. I pray for wisdom in my dealings and for the ability to show your love and grace in all my relationships. I declare that my relationships are guided by your love and wisdom, bringing glory to your name. Grant me peace in decision-making, Lord. In moments of uncertainty, fill me with your tranquility, ensuring that my choices align with your will. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of anxiety and confusion. I declare that in every decision, your peace reigns in my heart, guiding me to make choices that honor you. I pray for trust in your timing, Almighty God. Help me to be patient as I wait for your guidance, knowing that you make all things beautiful in your time. I rebuke any spirit of impatience or frustration in the name of Jesus. I declare that I will wait on you with faith and confidence, trusting in your perfect timing for every aspect of my life. Empower me with courage to follow your lead, Lord. Even when the path is unfamiliar or challenging, strengthen my resolve to walk in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am fearless in pursuing the direction you have for me. I rebuke any spirit of fear or hesitation and claim boldness and confidence in following your call. I pray for my loved ones, Lord. May your blessings, guidance, and protection be upon them as well. Let them experience your love and grace in their lives. I declare that they too are walking in your divine purpose and are shielded by your mighty hand. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now. We come in agreement as we pray for each other, knowing that you are in our midst as you promised. We claim victory in your name, declare healing for those in need, and thank you for your protection and guidance. Together, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in our daily walk with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word Amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to our channel Daily Jesus Prayers for more videos that will bless your heart and uplift your spirit. We appreciate all your support. You're blessed to be a blessing. Please feel free to leave your prayer request in the comments section so that we can present them before God for your blessings and victory, and so that other believers on the YouTube platform and all over the world can join us and start praying for you right now. Stand in faith with us while we pray. To God be all the glory. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you cry. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the winds that call me out. You would cross an ocean.
The wolf is at the door, and we have to be careful and stand for what's right, stand for God, put on the whole armor that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, and that's the word of God, and let's fight with prayer, and believe that he's our shepherd and we shall not want, spiritually, mentally, or physically, in the name of Jesus. So listen, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to pray out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. I played a little more music today than usual, but God is faithful, and so we thank him. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said and done this morning. We thank you for your word again today, for your word is a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path, and forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. We thank you for all you've done for us, what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. We're grateful unto you. Again, we appreciate you, and Father, we love you, for it was you who first loved us. Move for your people today in a mighty way. And Father, this morning as we depart, bless our going out, bless our coming in, and Father, meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 26th, 2024. in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you right now, Lord, for all you've done. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. And we're going to go to the last song of the morning. Jireh, you are enough.